Well, hi there. This is a sojourner speaking to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are listening and will be listening around the world. We especially want to say hi to those of you in New Zealand and those of you in Singapore, some of you in India and East Africa and West Africa, and even parts of the United States. Yes, we're glad that you download the MP3s of these as well. And we have some people in the United Kingdom who are showing some interest. So we want to welcome you as well. Our message in this session is Blessing Resurrected. We're still continuing our resurrection series. And our scripture is found in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. Of course, we'll be reading from the New International Version, the NIV, and we use this so that all English-speaking people around the world will equally understand the words used. And so in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about blessings for obedience. So starting with verse 1, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all of His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns, on everything you put your hand to. The Lord will, your God will bless you in the land He is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people, as He promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Then all the people on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land He swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. That's Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. What special gifts or blessings were you given by God? You know, there's only one you, and you were given special gifts and blessings from God. You are unique in all the world now and in the past. Not just now, but there's never been anyone like you in the past. Oh, there may be some similarities, but there's never been another you. Believers carry within them the blessing of Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ is the second Adam. A non-believer can carry the blessing of God in them if they will take themselves off the throne of their own life. And I will tell you, this is one of the greatest challenges that most people have. Even some people who have accepted Christ find that their life never makes very little progress because they keep putting themselves back on their own throne rather than letting Jesus be on the throne of their life. So if the non-believer and any person will take themselves off the throne of their own life and put Jesus on their life's throne, if they'll do that, if they will make Jesus their Lord as well as their Savior, then the blessing will come and will live, and they will live under the blessing. You can live under the blessing of God. You see, the blessing came first in the Garden of Eden. Now think about that. The blessing came even before this blessing that's mentioned in Deuteronomy, that I read there in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. The blessing came before then. God made all that was made with His spoken word. And when He had made creation, He then placed a garden in that creation. That garden was, no doubt, the finest, most beautiful, and most fruitful garden imaginable. If you've ever tried to raise a garden, you know that some people have gardens that just seem to flourish, and other people have gardens that barely survive, or every place in between. But when God would plant a garden, imagine how beautiful that garden must have been. Imagine how fruitful that garden must have been. Imagine what was all there for mankind when He set that garden in all creation. And then what would that garden have been without mankind? Without mankind in it. You see, God placed mankind in the Garden of Eden. There, they were perfect people in a perfect garden. That's how it all started out. They were all perfect people in a perfect garden, in a perfect creation of God. Mankind was to hear the first words He ever heard in that garden. And those words were, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." You can read that for yourself in Genesis 1:28. The very first chapter in Scripture, we hear that mankind was blessed. Now, since God made mankind in the image of Himself, in the image of God, man was made to be a creative being. I will tell you, my friends, you and I are always creating something. We're always creating something. Even if we're doing nothing about something, we are creating something. Because if you do nothing, chaos will reign around you. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever thought, well, I'll just put this off. I don't want to face this. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to work with this. Did it ever get better? Did things ever improve? Have you found that we were put here to rule over things, not to let things rule over us? They don't get better. They don't improve. They don't even stay the same unless we get involved. You see, it was man's task to expand the garden to every place he went. And that's our task as well as believers. We are to expand the blessing of God every place we go. The garden, then, was in mankind, as well as mankind being in the garden. Well, think about it. Before a person can be creative, that person must first conceive of the thing to be created in their own mind. I will tell you something. You have not done anything that you did not conceive of in your own mind first. Now think about that for a minute. If you were going to build a house, you must first conceive of the house in your mind. If you're going to buy a new vehicle, you must first conceive of that vehicle in your mind. If you're going to plan a meal, you must first conceive of that meal in your mind. If you're going to build something, sew something, make something, construct something, do anything, you must first conceive of it in your mind. Once a thought has been conceived of, it can then be brought into the physical realm. Now, it's sad because many people look around their lives and they go, "This isn't the way I really planned it. I don't have the house I wanted to have. I don't have the life I wanted to have. I don't have this or that or this or this thing or that thing is not happening the way I wanted it. But what have you done to bring it about? Remember what I said. If we do nothing, then nothing happens. We are creating nothing. We are creative beings made in the image of a creative being, God Himself. It was in the garden that the garden was first placed in mankind. You see, mankind was in the garden, but the whole concept of the garden was first placed in man. Mankind in the garden. That's where it happened. Then came the fall of man, as it's known. When sin entered into the garden through the deception and disobedience of mankind. First was the deception. Satan came and deceived. And then mankind was disobedient. So, as a result, you see, mankind created something there. God banished man from the kingdom He had given them there. Now notice I said the kingdom He had given them there. You understand, the whole earth belonged to man. It was up to man to rule it, subdue it, be in charge of it. However, we learn later in Scripture that many evidences of the blessing empowered those who operated by faith. People like Abraham and Enoch and others who operated by faith, the blessing empowered them and came on them. Then came the second Adam, Jesus the Christ. The greatest thing that's happened since creation was the coming of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. It was Jesus the Christ who did the work necessary to restore mankind to the very same condition that had been enjoyed by Adam and Eve before they sinned, before they, the true meaning of the word is, missed the mark, fell short. Before they did that, any person who made Jesus the Christ their Lord and Savior was then restored to the condition of fellowship and the blessing God had originally given to Adam, or really then to mankind. Because Adam and Eve were all of mankind at the time that blessing was given. But when Jesus came and did what He did, we were all put in a position where we could be restored to that very condition. It has always been, and I repeat, it has always been God's desire and will to bless mankind. And if you're hearing my voice and you're hearing this message, then you're a part of mankind, if you're understanding this. And I tell you, it has always been God's desire and will to bless mankind. You. It has always been. The blessing then rests on and in all believers. If you're a believer, the blessing rests on you and the blessing rests in you. Think about that. You know, we see that word in Psalms. Whenever a little bit, we'll see the word Selah show up. It means pause and think about that. What that means, I will tell you, there is no substitute for pausing and thinking about the Word of God. Letting the Word of God soak into you. Soaking in the Word of God. Absorbing it through every spiritual pore you have. Let it like an ointment or an oil spread over your whole body, your whole mind, your whole thought process. Let that happen to you. When a person realizes, as a believer, they are the blessed, then they realize they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. All things through Christ who strengthens them. That's Philippians 4:13. If you're a believer, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Not all things through yourself, but all things through Him. Why? Because he is the anointed, and as a Christian, you are an anointed one. As a believer, you are anointed. And all things in that scripture, when it says you can do all things means, guess what? It means all things. Just as Jesus commanded Lazarus to come forth from the dead, the believer must resurrect the power of the blessing in them by faith and call the blessing to come forth in all they do. Well, now let me make that a little more personal for you. Just as Jesus commanded Lazarus to come forth from the dead, you, as a believer, must resurrect the power of the blessing in you by faith and call the blessing to come forth in all you do. Well, now, how do you do that? You place a demand on faith. It's not a wish. Faith is not a wish. Faith places a demand on the promises of God. If I write a check to you, and you take that check to my bank, you are making a demand on my account, with my permission, because I've written you the check. God has written you a check specifically to you, with all the things that you need, with all the things that He has planned for you to do. He has put in place for you. The very fact that you're here means that that plan is there. But we, my friends, must seek it out. We must call that plan and the blessings in that plan, we must call them and it forth in faith. You see, the garden will appear wherever a believer goes. So if you're a believer, the garden will appear wherever you go. If the garden is not appearing wherever you go, you need to get into the Word. You need to get into prayer. You need to find out what's going on. And let me mention this to you. You cannot afford, with the blessings of God, to get in a settle for life. I see so many believers who are in a settle for life. If you have places you don't go because you don't feel like that you belong there, because you couldn't afford this or whatever, you need to start going around those places. You need to find out that there's more to life than what you're experiencing. You need to find out that there is more blessing out there that you're experiencing, because God expects you to expect His blessing. He expects you to receive His blessing. He expects you to operate in His blessing, because He expects to be able to show you and I off as believers to the world for His provision and His power and His ability. That's what He wants. That's what He expects. When He had you born, He knew you before you knew you. And He knows what's in you that you may not even know is in you. You say, well, I know I've done some things that I didn't think were in me. Yeah, there are negative things in you too. But if you will operate in the will of God, you will have the blessing work through you that you could never have conceived of, that you could never have thought of asking for, you could never really have spent much time thinking about. And the only way you know what that is to be in the Word of God on a regular basis. Not a crisis time, but on the regular basis. The one thing that I find that destroys more people's lives in the Lord is their cruising around, still on the throne of their own life, having accepted Him as Savior, but never allowing Him to become fully Lord of their life. And so they float around from crisis to crisis, from problem to problem, and then they run back to Him, and they want to live a life of restorative miracles. I will tell you something. Facilitative miracles are much better. Facilitative miracles are the miracles that God has already planned for you, that facilitates His plan for you in your life to bring about His kingdom. You need to be in prayer and in the Word for that. Then the garden will appear wherever you go. You need to command the blessing to come forth in Jesus' name. Just stand up and shout, blessing, come forth in Jesus' name. And know that if you've done that, the blessing will come forth. Oh, now, if you're going to look around you and expect to see a bunch of phenomenal things, you know, all the trees in your yard are going to sparkle and all the little problems that you're facing are going to just be turned around in a moment, that could happen. My experience has been it doesn't happen that way. You have to walk in that faith, because walking in that faith is what proves your faith. It proves your belief. And remember, belief is not faith until you put a demand on it. So put a demand on it. Go to the Lord. Talk to the Lord about it. But speak it forth. Whatever you're being challenged with, whoever you think is controlling your life because boo-hoo, poor me. No. Let God be in control of your life. Walk in the blessing that He has, not the blessing the world has for you. Because the blessing, the world's blessing, will give you nothing but grief with it. So walk in God's blessing and command the blessing to come forth in Jesus' name. Blessing, come forth in Jesus' name. Come to me now in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. That's my message for this session. Now, my friends, if you would like to have the Jesus that I've talked about in your life, just ask Him to come in. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Control my life. Take over my life. I turn my life over to You. Not just as Savior, but as Lord as well. He'll do it. If you've not been enjoying the things that Christ promised, and you look at yourself and you say, I've really not been sticking to that first love I had. I've not really relied on Him. I keep putting myself back on the throne of my own life. Then take yourself off that throne right now and put Him back on it. Let Him know that He's not just your Savior, but He's your Lord, and you praise and worship Him for it. If you need some help, if you need information, contact me, The Sojourner, at SojournersHub.org. Just send me an email, The Sojourner, at SojournersHub.org. Or you can contact me over Skype, no matter where you are in the world. It's free. Contact me over Skype, The Sojourner, 3734. We'll be glad to work with you. We'll be glad to pray with you. We'll be glad to be of whatever help we can be to you. So that's my message for this time. And here's the blessing I pronounce on you now. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.